created for. And because of it, messengers were sent. And books and legislations were revealed. It is the reason deeds are recorded. And scales will be weighed on the day of judgment. Thus, a person ending up in paradise or ending up in hell. This word separates the creation into believers and disbelievers. And about it, they will be asked on judgment day. And based on it, it is either reward or punishment. It is Allah's right upon His servants. It is the word of Islam and the key to Jannah. It is the word that Allah Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala, testified concerning, as it comes in Surah Ali Imran, ayah number 18, شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Allah bears witness and testifies that there is none, no God worthy of worship except Him. And so do the angels. They also bear witness and testify. وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ, and those of knowledge, the people of knowledge, the scholars. قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ, establishing and maintaining His creation in justice. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ, there's none who's worthy, and no God worthy of worship, but He, الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ, the one, the full of might, the most wise. This is the expression with which you enter Islam. And this is the expression with which you remain in Islam. A Muslim who loses La ilaha illallah loses his deen. A Muslim who loses La ilaha illallah is no longer a Muslim. And because of that, and because of the fact that the term La ilaha illallah has become merely a statement that some people utter with their tongues, however, they do not meet its requirements, nor do they fulfill its applications or implications, excuse me, it becomes necessary that we address the conditions of the statement La ilaha illallah. We all know how to say it, but we may not all know how to act upon it. We all say it's the key to paradise, but we may fail to realize that it will only open the gate for those who have the conditions, which are like the ridges of the key. You know, the key has ridges. Not any key will open any lock unless the ridges on the key fit in the actual ridges in the lock. When these two are compatible, one is able to unlock a lock. Similarly, the statement of La ilaha illallah is the key to paradise. However, if the ridges are missing, then it will not open the door. So the question remains, what are the conditions of La ilaha illallah? Before we deal with the conditions, let us introduce it with the following piece of information. First, how to adequately translate the statement La ilaha illallah. I'm saying this because many people mistranslated unintentionally, Jazakallahu khair or Jazakallahu khaira, unintentionally, but still that translation, the least which we can say about is that it is inaccurate. The common translation of La ilaha illallah is there's no God but Allah. And the truth of the matter is, this is wrong. Because there are gods besides Allah. Is Abu Mus'ab teaching shirk? Or am I? Who can show us from the Quran an evidence which proves that there are actually other gods besides Allah. Even though we have a label for them, we have a categorization for them, we have a ruling on them, nevertheless, the existence of other gods is established in the Quran and the Sunnah. Can anyone give us an evidence? That's not enough, Umar. Not enough, Habibi. Come on. There are hundreds, where Allah confirmed the existence of other gods. Even though Allah criticized them and told us their reality, but still Allah confirmed the existence of gods. For example, Allah said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرٌ. Don't call on along with Allah another God. إِلَهًا آخَرٌ. Allah called them إِلَه. Don't call on another God with Allah. Allah said, for example, وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَةً. They have taken beside them gods. Allah called them Aliha, plural of ilah. وَمَنْ يَدْعُ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرٌ. Whoever calls on with Allah another god, فَإِنَّمَا حِسَابُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ. Verily his accountability is with his Lord. So Allah confirmed the existence of other gods. However, Allah told us in two ayat the bottom line. One is in Surah Luqman, and the other one, I believe, is in Surah Ar-Rum, which is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, ذَلِكَ بِالْحَقَّ وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ الْبَاطِلِ. That is because Allah is the Haqq, the true God, وَمَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ, and all the other gods which they call on besides them, batil, are false. So there are false gods. The only true God is Allah, la ilaha illallah. But do other gods exist which are false? Surely. According to the people, they are gods. Allah accepted that and called them, according to what these people have called them, gods. However, Allah told us that they're all false gods. They're fake. They're not real. Allah is the only one who's the true God. So when you say La ilaha illallah means there's no God but Allah, you actually went against the Quran, because Allah said that there are gods. This is why the correct translation is there's no God worthy of worship, or there's no God deserving of worship, or there's no true God except Allah. The last one is the least one. There's no true God except Allah. If you say there's no God, say this incorrect, man. The Buddhists say Buddha's God, and the Hindus say Shiva's God, and the Christians say Jesus is God. I mean, these are the gods. You cannot say there's no God. There is. But they're all false gods. There are, but they're false gods. So the first thing is, when you want to explain to a non-Muslim the meaning of La ilaha illallah, don't say there's no God but Allah, because they will get confused. Say there's no true God but Allah. The best format is there's no true God but Allah, or there is no God worthy of worship and servitude and slave and to be enslaved to except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's first. The second point which we would like to tackle concerning that expression is the fact that the term La ilaha illallah has negation and affirmation. Negation, when you say La ilaha, there are no true gods worthy of worship. Affirmation is in saying, illallah, except Allah. So you're negating, then you're affirming. You're negating, then you're affirming. You're negating the existence of real gods, then you're affirming it only to Allah Azza wa Jal alone. So there are two pillars for the expression La ilaha illallah, negation and affirmation. And we have many references in the Quran which allude to the same meaning. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam saying, إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ أَوْ أفرأيتم ما كنتم تعبدون أنتم وآباؤكم الأقدمون فإنهم عدو لي إلا رب العالمين. Ibrahim said, do you see then that which you have been worshipping, you and your forefathers, they are all enemies to me except رب العالمين, the Lord of everything. So he negated all these false gods, he affirmed it to Allah Azza wa Jal alone. There's another ayah also in reference to Ibrahim where again he declared his innocence from the false gods and he affirmed it to Allah Azza wa Jal alone. Al-Muhim, that La ilaha illallah has negation and affirmation. طيب. The first condition of La ilaha illallah is what? What's the first one, ya jama'a? The first one. Now don't give me them random. I like them in order. علم يا سلام يا سلام على شيخ الإسلام يا سلام على شيخ الإسلام آه يا ساقف. طيب, the first one is knowledge. In Arabic it is called علم, and work on pronouncing the letter عين, which is not a sound that you will find in the English phonetics, fortunately and unfortunately. But so you have to work on the ah, and there's a difference between a and a. Don't say ilm. You have to say ilm, right? And if you can't get that sound, you can work on it. Inshallah, you'll eventually get it. It's not impossible. Alhamdulillah, many people have learned it. Ilm. Ilm is knowledge. Now the evidence for that is the fact that Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَعَلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. Then know that there's no God worthy of worship except Allah, then seek forgiveness for your sin. So Allah commanded that you must know La ilaha illallah. And who did Allah say this to? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine, the one who knew the most La ilaha illallah. No one knew La ilaha illallah better than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Still, Allah tells him in the Quran, فَعْلَمْ, then know that there's no God worthy of worship but Allah, then seek forgiveness for your sin. وللمؤمنين, and to the believers. So when Allah addresses the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we are included, meaning we need to follow the same instructions unless it is specific to the Messenger of Allah, and this is something that the scholars would point out at the right time. Before you even do istighfar, you better know La ilaha illallah. And what do you have to know about it? What we told you earlier. The negation, the affirmation, the meaning, the fact that you're denying that any creation has any authority, any power, any control over anything. Nothing has that except Allah. And because of that, no one deserves to be worshipped except Allah. And because of that, no one has the most beautiful names and the most perfect attributes except Allah, whom has nothing like Him. Who... لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ, there's nothing like unto him. That's what you need to know. علم. Furthermore, Allah says in there are other evidences for that, but we will stick to the first one, and that one also only because of time constriction. Second condition, brothers and sisters, yallah, help me out here. Help me out. Brother Saqif was on point by pointing out that the first condition was علم, knowledge. Now what is the second condition? Come on, give it to me today. Ah, ya monitor SF, excellente. Umar, slow down. The second condition is yaqeen, certainty. Excellent monitor SF. We should give you a prize. I don't know what kind of prize you would need. Maybe you don't have to monitor for 2 days. Take a day off, or a couple of days off. But I know that you love doing this. Jazakum Allah khair. Tayyib. So the second condition is, may Allah bless you and enable you to enter Jannah without any accountability and to be in the Firdaus with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second condition, as pointed out by monitor SF, is yaqeen, certainty. certainty. Meaning, you don't doubt, well, yeah, maybe Islam is the true religion of God, maybe Christianity. What do you guys think, huh? You think Christianity is good? Maybe I should check it out for some time, huh? Maybe I'll go back and forth, you know, Christian one day, Muslim one day, huh? No. You must have yaqeen, certainty. Because Allah says in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِن قَبْلِكَ وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. And those who believe in that which has been sent down upon you, and that which has been sent down upon those who came before you, and in the life to come they have certainty. Where do you learn about the life to come? From Islam. You cannot have certainty in the life to come unless you have certainty in Islam. That means you must have yaqeen in what Islam is about. Islam is about La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, you must have yaqeen. Don't you dare doubt what Allah revealed in the Quran or what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught in the Sunnah. Don't you dare think that science is in any way, shape or form superior to the prophetic traditions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why am I saying this? Because we have amongst us nowadays some very funny individuals who give science precedence over the deen. Who will not believe an ayah or a hadith unless science confirms it. If science doesn't confirm and affirm it, then they will be skeptical about it, they will doubt it, and they may even reject it, thereby disbelieving in Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and leaving Islam altogether. Science is unimportant. A. B. If we are going to give it some importance, then we do so in the light of the Quran and the Sunnah, not the other way around. Because science changes day by day. They don't have any consistencies, except with facts that cannot be denied. And the good news for you is, any fact which has been established beyond a shadow of doubt is already established in the teachings of Islam. But be careful of favoring science over the deen. Because science and scientific facts or theories change, but the revelation which Allah sent down 1400 years ago does not change. You better believe. You better have certainty. The third condition is what? Yalla. Let's see who's next among these studious students. Yalla Rashur. Look, what's up with this action, ya Shaykh? It's not part of the conditions, ya Shaykh. Not. Well, it is, but not like that. We will see how it is. Acceptance, yeah, well, that is later. Fine. But let's do it in order. Let's save acceptance for later. Let's do it in order. Or at least in the order that the ulama have put it in. The order is after ilm, knowledge, yaqeen, certainty. Third is ikhlas, sincerity. To be sincere to Allah. Allah said, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ مخلصين له الدين حنفاء ويقيموا الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة وذلك دين القيمة. And they were only commanded to worship Allah while being sincere to Him in their religion, and to establish the salah and to pay the zakah until the end of the ayah. قُلْ إِنِّي أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ دِينِي. In Surah Zumar, Allah says to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, say, I was commanded to worship Allah while being sincere to him in my religion. You do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for any other reason, which negates hypocrisy. Al-ikhlas al-munafi li-shirk, that you don't have any association in this tawheed of yours, in this la ilaha illallah of yours. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further said in the hadith in Bukhari, أسعد الناس بشفاعتي من قال لا إله إلا الله خالصا من قلبه. The most happiest, the happiest person during my intercession on the day of resurrection will be the one who has said لا إله إلا الله sincerely from his heart. The one who says لا إله إلا الله sincerely from the heart will be the happiest person with the shafa'ah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. الإخلاص المنافي لشرك. Don't associate any partners with Allah, nor do you do anything in Islam for the sake of people. Showing off should be set aside. Whoever is typing, we will be having our Q&A shortly. You can ask during the Q&A. Okay, just stick around. And Allah will be taking questions. Okay. Sincerity for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth condition is as-sidq, truthfulness. Truthfulness. Al-munafi lil-kadhib, which negates lying. That you are truthful with Allah in your iman. You are truthful in your aqidah. You are truthful in your statements. You are truthful in your da'wah. You're truthful in your da'wah. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu attaqu Allah wa kunu ma'as-sadiqeen. Oh, you have believed, have taqwa of Allah, and be among the truthful ones. Be with the truthful ones. Be truthful. Don't lie. And I've mentioned this before. Don't lie in da'wah. Never ever, never ever, never ever change any teaching of Islam to please anyone. Ever. Even if the whole world doesn't like it, we say, sorry, too bad for you that you don't like what Allah revealed. Now you really have a problem if you have a problem with what Allah revealed. It is not my job and yours to modify Islam to bring people to Islam. It is my job and yours to represent Islam as revealed for those who deserve Islam to enter into Islam. Don't you ever deny anything that some disbeliever will not like. That's not your job and you don't have the right to do so. Be truthful in your da'wah. Fifthly, المحبة المنافية للبغض. Love. The fifth condition of La ilaha illallah is love, which negates hatred. Allah says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَن يَتَّخِذُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ لِلَّهِ. And amongst people, mankind, are those who take besides Allah equals, whom they love the same way they love Allah. However, those who believe love Allah way more. The true love. Loving Allah and loving La ilaha illallah and loving the people of La ilaha illallah and loving the messenger. Loving the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam who brought La ilaha illallah and loving anything and anyone who has to do with La ilaha illallah and in turn hating anything which negates La ilaha illallah. Hating shirk, people of shirk and everything that has to do with shirk because they are the biggest two opposites in this world. So if you love one, you can't love the other. Sixthly, al-inqiyad. Inqiyad is like submission. It is to submit, to surrender. Allah says, وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ. And submit to your Lord and surrender to Him. Don't you go against the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah. Don't negate the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah. Submit to Allah. Surrender to Allah. Follow the instructions of Allah. Yes, Umar. That is the closest thing, Habibi, to the action which you've been, mashallah, tabarakallah, typing every 2 minutes. Seventhly, al-qabool. Acceptance. Acceptance. Umar, you're my buddy, you know, that's why I joke with you like that, Habibi. Acceptance. Al-munafi lil-rad, which negates rejection. Meaning you accept everything which that statement entails in your heart and with your tongue. Because Allah said about the kuffar, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا إِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ وَيَقُولُونَ إِنَّا لَتَارِكُوا آلِهَتِنَا لِشَاعِرٍ مَجْنُونَ بل جاء بالحق وصدق المرسلين. Verily they used to be, whenever it was said to them, لا إله إلا الله, يستكبرون. They become arrogant and they say, are we going to abandon our God for a crazy poet? Nay, but he has brought the truth and he affirmed the messengers who preceded him. صلى الله عليه وسلم. Accept everything that has to do with it. If you don't, you are resembling the kuffar. And the last one, which is al-kufr bima yu'badu min dunillah, disbelief in everything which is worshipped besides Allah. فَمَن يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اِسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَنْ فِصَامَ لَهَا. And whosoever disbelieves in false gods and he believes in Allah, he has grabbed onto the strongest, the most firm stronghold, the most reliable thing to hold on to, the strongest covenant, the strongest knot which you can attach yourself to is belief in Allah, وَكُفُرْ بِالطَّغُوتِ, and disbelief in false gods, which is in essence لا إله إلا الله. And these are the conditions of لا إله إلا الله, which I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to enable myself and you to act upon them in our daily lives, and to allow us to remain in this fashion until the day we die, and that we are resurrected with these conditions intact, and that we enter Jannah because of the mercy of Allah and our adherence and obedience and implementation of these conditions of La ilaha illallah and those of Muhammadun Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And with this we conclude our dars, and I kind of hasten now towards the end because I see that some sister had an urgent question which she wanted to be addressed, and I don't want to keep her holding. If it's urgent, that means it's urgent. So I hope she's still around. It doesn't seem like it. Nevertheless, hopefully she will return, and now we can take your questions, inshallah. Now. Okay, here we go. Question number one. Don't we have any obligation of rescuing the Muslims in the different parts of the world who are being brutally tortured by US and different other forces? How can we fulfill the task? Yes, we do have an obligation towards them, but that obligation is conditional to ability. That obligation is conditional to ability, meaning whoever is able to do something must do it. Whoever is unable, then Allah will not hold us accountable, because Allah says, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. Allah does not burden his soul beyond its ability, beyond its scope. So in this regard, those closest to them have a greater obligation than those who are far away from them, because the closer the distance, the greater the obligation, provided that the person has the ability to do so. Wallahu musta'an. How do we give up a sin, and how does one repent sincerely for it? I suggest that you watch my lecture and return to your Lord in repentance. There I explained it. It's a lecture. It requires a lot of explanation and many evidences. So I prefer that you watch the lecture itself. You can find it on YouTube. Just type on YouTube and return to your Lord in repentance, and you will find the lecture, inshallah. Now, how do we know if a sin is major or minor sin? Is there such a thing as a medium sin? MashaAllah. Well, you know if it's a major sin when either Allah has promised Jahannam for that sin, or the curse of Allah has been promised for that sin, or some penal code is to be carried out in this life. These are usually the indications that that sin is major. Either the curse of Allah, the punishment in the life to come, or a penal code to be carried out in the dunya. Part of a medium sin. How should we say Ameen and Salah? Loudly or silently? You should say it loudly with the Imam, not before him, not after him. And don't over elongate it by saying Ameen. That's incorrect. It's supposed to be Ameen. 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 Not Ameen. Like this. Ameen. Naam. If I am in pain or very sick, can I skip some prayers or join them like when traveling? Well, skipping is out of the picture. Joining them is okay if you're really sick. But skipping, man, that's a bid'ah. How are you going to skip a salah, chief? Are Muslim women in Saudi Arabia forced to wear hijab? And please, why are they not allowed to have a driving license? MashaAllah, tabarakallah. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. The media and its effect on Muslims' thoughts. I guess it's working. Muslim women in Saudi Arabia are not forced to wear hijab, even though they should be. I wish they were. Otherwise, if they were, we would never see a woman without a hijab in the street, but we do. So the truth of the matter is they're supposed to be forced, but nowadays, that implementing that has become difficult because of the carelessness of the women and their wickedness in this day and time, where they don't want anyone to control them or speak to them. So the truth is they don't, but they're supposed to be. Because enjoining what is good and forbidding what is evil is compulsory, and now wearing hijab is evil and that must be changed. So if someone has a problem with that, then they have a major problem with what Allah revealed, because Allah Azza wa Jal commanded us to enjoin what is good, forbid what is evil. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Let there be a nation amongst you who call to all that which is good, enjoying what is right and forbid what is wrong. You're supposed to do that. Why are they not allowed to have a driver's license? Well, what is the point of having a driver's license? If they can't drive, let them have a driver's license, sit at home, big deal. The question is not about driver's license, the question is about driving. Is it good for women to drive in this kind of society? No. This opens the door for a lot of evil. And anything which leads to evil becomes evil. Women driving on their own, women traveling on their own, women going out of the house without any control, women having flat tires, being held by strange men, women mixing, women going out. This will open the big door of fitna, which we don't need. Which we don't need. So it's not that driving is haram. It's because in this society, what it would lead to will be definitely haram. So the scholars say, that shouldn't be the case. It shouldn't, the woman should not be allowed, because this will create a big, big fitna. So that's what it is. Now in other countries, the ruling is different. But here, that's the ruling, and alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, it's a wonderful ruling. Trust me, I live here, I know what I'm talking about. Next. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If one misses out his or her witr prayer, can he or she pray as qaza? Jazakallah khair. Well, yeah, let's first learn some Arabic. The word is qaza with a ba. The same letter you use when you say baaleen. Ghayri al-maghdubi alayhim wa al-dhalin. That ba is the word used in qaza, qaza, not qaza. That's just for future benefit. So we can improve our Arabic at the same time. Yes, if one misses witr, brother or sister, if one misses it, then one makes it up by making it an even number. So if you were going to pray one rak'ah at night, the next day you pray two. If you were going to pray three, the next day you pray four. If you're going to pray five, the next day you pray six, and so on and so forth. It is the sunnah, actually, of the Prophet ﷺ to make up the missed witr prayer. Now, is it permissible to pray chaste and awabin salah? I don't know about what chaste is, but awabin is the salat al-duha. That's salat al-duha. Naam. MashaAllah. An essay. What is your view on Australia's hopes in implementing moderate sharia? Is it something that is applicable, perhaps of things such as marriage, divorce law? It is even considered okay to implement just part of the sharia instead of its entirety. Should Muslims be rooting for this? Is it even possible that sharia law can be changed, amended, and altered with respect to time and place? No, sharia cannot be changed. It's fixed. And I really don't have any knowledge on what this whole Australia's or Australian hope implementing moderate sharia, so I cannot really address something which I have zero knowledge about. Allahu alam what the reality of it is. Now, is witr qiyam al-layl to be prayed silently or aloud, as Allah says, or a little more, and we recite the Quran in slow, measured, rhythmic tones? The sunnah is that you recite it in a loud voice that you can hear, not loud that it will disturb others, and you may do it silently at times. But the asal is that you do it loudly, as in loud enough for you to hear. Now, taking a student loan is the only way I can pay for the 6-year degree. It is done on a yearly basis. Is it enough for me to hate this action in my heart, bearing in mind that it has taken me the whole of my education to get this place? I've already discussed in the lecture Seller of Musk and in the other lectures the impermissibility of the students' loans because of their interest, and it's haram, haram, haram. 6 years, la ilaha illallah. That's a long time, ya akhi, being involved in haram. And who guarantees that you will live beyond that? From what I know, it's haram. And no, it is not enough to hate it in your heart, because Allah did not reveal anywhere in His book that everyone must have a degree before they enter Jannah. It is not in the book of Allah. It is not in the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you must have a degree in science or in math or in English before you enter Jannah. It is not a condition. Allah did not create us now to go and get degrees. He created us to get degrees in paradise, as in a degree in paradise. So if we miss out on that and get busy trying to get a degree in the dunya while guaranteeing ourselves a place in Jahannam, we have become super losers. We have to keep it real. Keep it real. Many people live happily with a simple job that they have, which Allah blesses for them, and they have enough money to lead a normal, happy, contentment, life of contentment. And they're not graduates from Oxford, and they don't have all the degrees in the world, they're just fine. And many people run all day and all night chasing after a degree only to become poor losers in the dunya, belittled and humiliated by every Tom, Dick and Harry. It's all in the hand of Allah. Hey. I came to realize the deen recently, alhamdulillah, and in the meantime, I've almost completed my undergraduate study in finance. What profession should I choose now to avoid interest-based work? What is your concern regarding Islamic banks? Well, I don't know, Yaqi, I'm not an expert on that field. Just get a job which does not require of you to deal with riba. What would that be? Allahu A'lam, just regular business. And Islamic banks, if they're really Islamic, go ahead. What is your opinion on going for holidays or vacation to the land where the non-Muslims? Haram. It's haram. You cannot do so. Because you're exposing your iman to danger. You're exposing your faith to danger by mixing and being in a place where temptation is high and corruption is spread. And all for what? To have a good time? Psh. My mother store the Quran next to the radio. She says that the place for the Quran, that's the place for the Quran. In my house there are more Quran than people to read them. If I give them away, she would get upset for a day or two and then she would not listen to me. I do not want to upset her and I know what she's doing is wrong. What should I do? Leave her alone, Yaqi. Why do you want to give away the Quran? It's your mother's, it's not yours. She wants to keep 10 of them, let her keep 10 of them. Why is it wrong? What's wrong with that? Because it's next to the radio? Is the radio playing music? If the radio is playing music, whether the Quran is next to it or elsewhere, it's all haram. So the Quran itself has nothing to do with it. You know, but there's more to it. One second, I have to turn down this AC. I'm about to die here. When you join Salah, when the Imam is at the last, the two last rak'ahs of a four rak'ah Salah, are we supposed to read a surah when offering the next rak'ah since we joined when the Imam was doing rak'ah with no surah? No, you don't. You just recite the Fatiha. Is taking photographs of ourselves haram? Yes. Yes, and please refer to my lecture. Where is this wedding heading? And the lecture, Facebook can make you face hell. Again, the lectures are, where is this wedding heading? And Facebook can make you face hell. There you will find the issue of taking pictures addressed extensively. And you will see why it is haram to do so. Barakallahu feekum. Which way should one face while making dua at the graveside? The Qibla. One should face the Qibla. Please explain the tafsir of verse 85 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Can you be kind enough to quote it? I don't have them memorized, you know, by verse. Quote the verse, and if I know it, I will speak about it. If not, I will be quiet. Or I will keep quiet. But give me the ayah, barakallahu feek. Come on, guys, I'm running out of time. Is it okay for a Muslim to invoke or start a fight between two non-Muslim persons or groups? No, it is not. Then you are, the ayah 85 says, then you are those same ones who are killing one another and evicting a party of your people from their homes, cooperating against them in sin and aggression. And if they come to you as captives, you ransom them, although the eviction was forbidden to you. So do you believe in part of the scripture and disbelieve in part? Then what is the recompense for those who do that among you except disgrace in worldly life? And on the day of resurrection, they will be sent back to the severest of punishment, and Allah is not unaware of what you do. The ayah is clear. This ayah is speaking about the Jews Allah Azza wa Jalla had commanded the Jews that they do not kill each other, nor do they evict each other from their homes. But they wind up going exactly against the command of Allah. They killed each other, and they evicted each other from their homes. And they cooperated in sin and transgression. So, and then they did what Allah Azza wa Jalla told them not to do. And Allah told them, for example, that they should not, you know, take money, and if they come to you as captives, you ransom them. You should not take money for captives. Then they did the opposite of that. So they went against all the commands of Allah. So Allah says, do you believe in part of the book? أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. Do you believe in part of the book and you disbelieve in the other part? I mean, the ayah is clear. It's speaking about the Jews. And obviously the Muslims are being warned of following their footsteps. Can you please motivate us to pray Qiyam or suggest any particular steps to do so? I fear many a times I wouldn't be able to wake up for Fajr if I pray Qiyam. Allah musta'an. Wallahi, I'm not the right person to be addressing this issue. And this is not the right time to do so either. But it is sufficient for us to remember the hadith wherein the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah Azza wa Jal descends to the lowest heaven every last third of the night, and he asks, is there anyone seeking forgiveness so I may forgive him? Is there anyone seeking to turn in repentance so I may accept his repentance? Is there anyone asking for anything so I may give him? And that happens every night at the last third. So this should be an encouragement for all of us to establish the night prayer. Wallahu alam, wallahu musta'an. Next question, is painful labor for women when having her child also considered as a punishment from Allah for her sinning in Islam as in Christianity? Hold on, it's painful labor. No, it is not. No, it is not considered that. Rather, that pain which she feels, it is mercy from Allah because her sins are expiated according to the pain which she endures and she suffers. So it's exactly the opposite of Christianity. Okay guys, we're approaching the end here. Are Muslim men allowed to make the beard nice like the Shafi'i Madhab? As in they shave their facial hair on the cheeks and sideburns but leave the chin area to grow. What exactly is the justification? No, this is not allowed. Leave your beard as Allah created it. That's it. Leave it alone, leave it alone, leave it alone. Can we say Ayatul Kursi after every Fard Salah? You should say Ayatul Kursi after every Fard Salah. It's a sunnah. What will happen when Isa ibn Maryam returns in the last days and times? How will the Christians to become Muslims with this help? I will be delivering a lecture inshallah on this topic when the right time comes. And perhaps, again, this is a very long question that requires a very long answer. And now is not the time to deal with it. Please pardon me. If photograph, video, etc. are not allowed, then why these are allowed for Islamic channels? I never said that videos are not allowed. I said photographs are not allowed. Videos are allowed. So, whoever uses videos, Jazallah khair, whoever follows, does pictures, they must follow the opinion that they are allowed. The fact that I follow the opinion that they're not allowed does not mean that everyone has to follow what I follow. Now, can we relate verse 85 of Surah Baqarah with present day Muslims who pray five times a day but selling alcohol, consuming riba? Yes. Because in that sense, they are believing in part of the book and disbelieving in some. You're welcome, Brother Musa. Okay guys, these should be the last questions. If someone accused me of fornication, what should I do? What are my rights? How should I confront my accuser? Well, that's called kabz. And that person should be lashed, 80 lashes, for accusing you of fornication. You should report it to the judge so that the ruling may be carried out against him. Now, unless he brings four witnesses. Last question by saying, Say, the mosque I go to, the imam is always 5 or more minutes late. What advice can you give? Wait. And get the ajr of waiting 5 minutes. وبارك الله فيكم وجزاكم الله خيرا والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.